This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. More than 30 people, most of them family members, surrounded President Biden as he addressed the nation from the Oval Office last night for the first time since he announced he was dropping his bid for another term.
The president said it's time to pass the torch.
I revere this office, but I love my country more.
And in a solemn tone, he called for unity, saying, "This sacred task of perfecting our union is not about me. It's about you.
Whether we keep our republic is now in your hands."
And he said it's up to the American people to protect this country and everything it stands for.
America's an idea. An idea stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Former President Donald Trump held his first campaign rally since Mr. Biden quit the race and took aim at his new opponent, the vice president.
This November, the American people are going to tell her, "No thanks, Kamala. You've done a terrible job. You've been terrible at everything you've done. You're ultra-liberal, and we don't want you here. We don't want you anywhere. Kamala, you're fired. Get out of here. You're fired."
A Harris spokesperson called Mr. Trump's rally unhinged, weird, and rambling. Both the president and the vice president will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu separately, a day after he addressed Congress and urged lawmakers to fast-track new aid to Israel. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
Maya Roman, whose relative is being held hostage, urged Netanyahu to return home and finalize a deal for the release.
"We finally have them where we want them. You have terrible terrorists like Yahya Sinwar finally willing to bring our loved ones back to end this war."
Netanyahu is expected to meet with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Just as he was about to walk free, the Missouri Supreme Court has halted Christopher Dunn's release from prison days after his 34-year-old murder conviction was overturned. Dunn's wife, Kira, was on her way to pick him up.
"They have no charges to hold him on. Not at all. He's now basically a hostage. He's no longer an inmate. And yet here we are. He's still being held. For what? What does this accomplish?"
A circuit court judge is threatening to hold the prison warden in contempt. A former Uvalde, Texas school police officer who was among hundreds who failed to stop the Robb Elementary School shooter makes his first court appearance today. Reporter Chris Fox.
Adrian Gonzalez, charged in June with 29 counts of child endangerment, is expected to plead not guilty at the Uvalde County Courthouse. According to the indictment, Gonzalez failed to engage the gunman after hearing gunshots and failed to follow his active shooter training.
Dow futures up 48, NAS futures off 39. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Last we knew, an armed and dangerous man was still on the loose in the Baraboo area. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
It started with an attempted traffic stop. That led to a chase, stop sticks, then a crash. Baraboo police say the man started shooting at them, then ran into the woods. One deputy has a minor injury. There was a shelter-in-place order that's since been lifted. The suspect is 32-year-old Jeffrey Edward Miller, with brown, short, or shaved hair and a medium-length beard with tattoos on his face. If you see him, call 911.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. A safety reminder for ATV and UTV riders. 20 people have died in recreational vehicle crashes in Wisconsin this year. Last year, 95% of fatal crash victims were not wearing a helmet. Wardens say remember to wear safety equipment. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Cubs again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with another ninth inning victory. William Contreras with a double to drive in Blake Perkins from first. Milwaukee winning 3-2 over the Cubs at Wrigley Field and winning the series 2-1. What did manager Pat Murphy think?
Yeah, man, I don't think it was great. You know, I don't think we executed great, but, you know, our bullpen was, our bullpen executed pitches. Wilson and Junis and Pyamps, that's the stars of the game.
The Brewers placing Christian Yelich on the 10-day IL. as he seeks medical advice for his chronic back pain. The 32-year-old Yelich telling reporters he may be looking at season-ending surgery. NFL, the Packers defense with another good day at practice, led by defensive back Eric Stokes, who was asked what's his focus in this training camp.
Keep getting 1% better to be a Super Bowl defense. We want to be remembered as one of the best defenses out here. We want us to, like, when people think about the Packers, they think about our defense, not our offense.
That's Eric Stokes. Talks on a Jordan Love contract continue. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east to northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, sunshine 79. Mostly sunny through the weekend. More humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll rehash Joe Biden's speech to the nation, and we'll see if Crudy can hold his good mood all the way to the weekend. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, July 25th, 2024. It's another beautiful morning to have you up here, up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app, watching us on social media or listening by podcast. Thanks for taking us along on your day. I've got a question for you. Is it Friday yet? thanks to breaking news on Sunday, this has felt like the slowest week ever. And in fact, I almost thought it was Friday because I was, you know, planning to go to the Brewers game on Friday. And then I see Greg Bach in his Brewers jersey shirt today. And I thought, oh, my God, is it Friday? Do I have to hit the road today?
Yeah.
No, he's just appropriately dressed to support the hometown team.
Heck yeah, always, always here for the Brewers. So you are going on Friday?
I think so.
Folks, did you hear that deep?
Well, this plan has gone in several different directions here. Not the least of which, the latest wrinkle that Mr. Bach doesn't even know about is my car might not be working adequately to make the trip. I have to take that in today to have something looked at. But my original intention to be at Yacht Rock. Hang on, I got the Yacht Rock hat over here for folks watching on social media. Here we go. I got the captain's hat. Here we go. So I was all set for, you know, Yacht Rock night at the Brewers game. So if I can make it down.
Okay.
The question is whether some of these radio folks are going to come along as well. And I am between, was it German Fest, the Harley weekend, there's EAA, there's all kinds of stuff
there's
going on here.
Air and Water Show in Milwaukee, I think, happening too.
Yes.
Like there's so many planes.
This is like the weekend. So the deal was that, you know, we'll see, you know, which radio folks want to come along because we don't get together very often. We're in very different parts of the state. And then we said, well, you know, and then whatever tickets we have left over, we'll give them away. And I thought we might do that today, but the way it's looking is that's going to happen tomorrow because I'm still working on a headcount, including for myself. So we'll see. We'll see. That's kind of how this thing's working out. I am so thankful to Sherry for planning that birthday party for me. She did all the work and we had this nice turnout because it turns out when I try to plan something, it just goes kittywampus. And so we'll just see how tomorrow goes.
But. Mm-hmm. You planned it with the best of intentions. You were the one who put this together. You wanted to go to the game and like hang out. So that is most appreciated.
Oh,
I want you to know that. And I would like to go to the game. Mm-hmm. I just want to get confirmation. Now Pat and I are just talking to each other.
Yeah, we'll be back to you guys in a moment.
Real radio. As long as I know there'd be like three or four people, I'll be good, but I don't really want to just like
You don't want to go with just me. I get it.
Shut up.
I understand.
Shut up.
That's okay.
Shut up.
Would it help knowing that we have a late confirmation from the capable and handsome Mr. Luke Mathers?
Is he going?
Yes, he's going.
I'm going.
Okay, well, there you go. We have a date. we've got a couple of other folks. I don't know if they wanted us to say that they're, but yeah, there will be some folks there, and then we may have some tickets to give away tomorrow.
George Clooney, in fact, might be there. I don't know
about him. He might be laying low for a little while here. But here's the number to keep in mind for today's show and maybe for ticket giveaways tomorrow: 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. Coming up on the program today, did you know, Greg Bach, that Eric Hovde is not only a U.S. Senate candidate, but he's also a life coach?
Oh, great.
I didn't know it was coming, but there's a video in his social media feed. It says, "Hi, welcome to the first of my series of videos on happiness," or something like that. I'm like, really? That's what we're doing now?
Oh my God. Yes, Eric, sit me down and tell me your version of happiness. Because if it involves a private plane, a beach view, and you know, money you can swim in like Scrooge McDuck, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, so we'll play a couple of clips right before we bring Joe Zepecki in at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk a bit about Eric Hovde, life coach, who, by the way, his top advice, just a spoiler alert, be more grateful, you people. You don't need my millions to be grateful. So there you go. We will, of course, talk about President Biden's address from the Oval Office. And we will contrast it with remarks made by former President Donald Trump at his campaign rally last night in the Carolinas. And if there weren't two very different versions of America right there in front of you, I don't know what else would demonstrate it. We will also talk to State Representative Melissa Radcliffe, who would like to be State Senator Melissa Radcliffe. She's running for a seat in the Senate, and she will be part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment as she talks about her run for a seat to be in what I call it the South Wing. None of you know. I mean, you all heard of the West Wing.
Yeah. Well,
in the state capitol, the West Wing is where the Assembly is. The South Wing is where the Senate is. But anyway, we're getting way too in the weeds now.
I just pre-ordered a book about the West Wing written by two of the cast members.
Yeah. Ooh, like an oral history thing?
I think so, yeah. I'm just excited. Very excited.
That would be awesome. Let's talk a little sports now, and then we'll play some clips from the president's speech here, because the Brewers, I love this. I love this so much. Remember Craig Counsell? Remember him? And how he surprised us by saying, "No, I'm not going to stay with you. I'm not going to go to the Mets. I'm not going to go to all these other places. I'm going to the Cubs." Just ripped our hearts right out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the first season, because it amazes me, but the Brewers and Cubs are already done playing for the year. The season series is done,
which
seems very bad scheduling from a division standpoint. That's a division foe, and there's no games in August or September. That's odd.
I thought we had at least. I think it was Dan Schumacher, who joins us every Friday. I thought remember him talking about the fact that we played very quickly and then we were done, and that's it.
We front loaded, you know, a lot of years. It's like, oh my God, we're playing the Cubs again in September.
Yeah.
You know, like two or three series in September. But no, we're all done. And the Brewers come away from it winning the season series 8-5. Take that,
yeah.
Craig Counsell. 8-5. Brewers take the season series. William Contreras hit a tie-breaking double in the ninth inning as the Brewers beat the Cubs on Wednesday 3-2. It started with Blake Perkins, who singled to lead off the ninth inning, and then Contreras one out later put a double into left center, scoring Perkins and giving your National League Central Division leaders another win. And then there's Christian Yelich, who's been put on the 10-day injured list because of inflammation in his lower back, and they're talking about the possibility that the All-Star outfielder will miss significant time. Exactly. So the Brewers are off today, and then they're back home for three this weekend against Miami, starting tomorrow for Yacht Rock Night, and then three against Atlanta early next week. So you can catch the game on some Civic Media stations against Miami tomorrow. 6:35 should be the pregame. 7:10 would be the first pitch. I don't know if you noticed on the video feed here. This is the first time I've worn this shirt in about a million years. It's for the Rotary Club of Grand Cayman, Grand Cayman Sunrise. Look at that. I know. It's like I was going through the closet, and I'm way in the back. I'm like, wait a minute. There's things here I haven't worn for a long, long time. And it's like, oh yeah, this Rotary. I haven't been in a Rotary Club since 2016, and I'm looking forward to the day when I actually have time to think, time to breathe, and time to serve in something like a Rotary Club again, because I really enjoyed the work that that they've done here in the Chippewa Valley and also down there in Grand Cayman. And I have visited other Rotary Clubs, and certainly there's others as well. You know, there's Optimist Clubs and all the others that I would, you know, finding this shirt in my closet reminded me I haven't put in a pitch for any of these service organizations in a long time. So I want to tip my cap to everybody that plays a role in that. All right, let's get to President Biden and making that decision to withdraw from the 2024 race. He gave an address in the Oval Office last night, a short address, heartfelt. He, of course, alluded to, you know, the sense of history, the portraits of the presidents, you know, that are there, and you could feel it. You could feel like he really wishes that this wasn't what it is, but it is. He's 82. Like I like to say, something's come off his fastball, and that he understood in looking around at the White House that it was time to pass the torch, as he liked to put it. But in doing so, he offered a very vigorous defense of American democracy, spelling out in no uncertain terms the threat that is posed by former President Donald Trump, as well as all those who support him, who believe a lot of what he says, even when it's not true. So we've got a couple of different clips. Here he is talking about basically a lifetime of service to his country.
My fellow Americans, it's been the privilege of my life to serve this nation for over 50 years.
And he outlined all the things that he'd done and the things where he ticked off a long list of accomplishments. And he can do that because he had a long list of accomplishments, but then turned things to looking forward because he is going to be president for another 6 months.
Well, in the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president. That means I'll continue to lower costs for hardworking families, grow our economy. I'll keep defending our personal freedoms and our civil rights, from the right to vote to the right to choose.
He said nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy, and that includes personal ambition. He said, I revere this office, but I love my country more. Meanwhile, Trump was at a rally again, laying out baseless claims of voter fraud. He too has lost something off his fastball, and he continues to talk about things like, you know, Hannibal Lecter, and he says things that are outright lies about abortion. So when we come back after the break, I'm going to play at least one more clip from President Biden, a couple of clips from former President Trump, and then let you decide which one is the patriot and is worthy of your support, even if doing so means you're supporting his vice president now that he's not running for re-election this year. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Back after this.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It was on this day in 2010, John Fogerty performed center field at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, where he also donated to them a guitar shaped like a baseball bat. And it was on this day 25 years ago today, the kid, Robin Yount, made history as the first Milwaukee Brewer inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Not a lot of players start in the major leagues at 18. Even fewer go on to have a 20-year career, but he did, and you can read more about it in today's newsletter. Christina Laurie has a story about Robin Yount and his Hall of Fame career. You can sign up for that, and you can sign up for that newsletter at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. There's also an article today comparing Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde on reproductive rights. All right, back to our coverage of President Biden's speech. I think I've got one more clip that I want to share with you, and it's basically, well, he spent a lot of time, as I mentioned, talking about his accomplishments. He put forward a weighty list for the next 6 months. He said he would work to end the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. He would continue his fight to boost government support to cure cancer. By the way, Republicans this week in Congress voted against that, voted against increased funding to cure cancer. Just thought I'd throw that out as an aside. The president also talked about continuing to address climate change, and he pushed for Supreme Court reform, which I don't think has ever been done from the Oval Office before. Again, underscoring just how much in peril our democracy is by having an independent judiciary under attack the way that it is right now from our very own Supreme Court. But after talking about his own to-do list and his own accomplishments, he, of course, made great care to point out his endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris and where he believes the country would best go from here.
I'd like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced. She's tough. She's capable. She's been an incredible partner to me and a leader for our country.
Biden said, I've given my heart and my soul to our nation. I have been blessed a million times in return. And what will probably be the money line from the speech, at least for this year, is the great thing about America is here, kings and dictators do not rule. The people do. History is in your hands. The power is in your hands. The idea of America lies in your hands. Unfortunately for us, a lot of those Americans think the future of America is going back to Donald Trump. And speaking at a rally last night, he gave a lot of the greatest hits. I think he joked again about sharks and electric boat motors. He again speaks at length about Hannibal Lecter, and I, honest to God, am not sure why. It doesn't seem to have a particular thread to it. It's one thing for Grandpa to go off on a tangent when he's telling a story, but when you do it every time, the same tangent every time, you wonder where this is all coming from. He told some of the same lies that he's told. I'll play one of those in a moment. But first, let me play the one that, again, in a normal world, the big news networks, the big newspapers would be leading with something like this if any other presidential candidate ever said that if it were up to him, he'd fire all the military generals, the ones who told him like he couldn't shoot fellow Americans and he couldn't drop a nuclear bomb into hurricanes. He'd fire all the generals. And honestly, he said this. He mused out loud about replacing them with race car owners and football coaches.
It's great. How you do it is amazing. It's so amazing. We should send you into, I've always said, get some of these guys. I have a lot of friends in that world. I don't know. I think, is it Roger Penske like a great guy too? Guy won, he won 20 Indianapolis 500s. This guy wins all the time. I mean, we appreciate talent. I said, let me use these guys to guide our military a little bit. When you can win so many races, that's okay. You know, you guide. Same thing with coaches. You take some of the greatest football coaches, you put them at a table. What do you like, coach? Because in its own way, it's not so much really different.
Yeah, it is. Yes. It's, Greg, back me up on this. It's different running the military than a race car or a football team.
I have never run a military, race car team, football team. I have all the confidence in the world to say they are all hard and all different and nothing like being a general. Okay.
Thank you.
I have spoken.
You have, and perfectly so, in a way we should all understand. But again, this is from folks who say government should be run like a business. No, it should not. They are completely different things. And what he used to say about Democrats writ large, he's now saying just about Kamala Harris, that she, like other Democrats, they claim execute babies. And I only play this so that you know it actually is happening, so that, again, when you're talking to a Trump supporter, you can tell them they're full of garbage. Here's the clip.
Wants abortions in the eighth and ninth month of pregnancy, that's fine with her, right up until birth, and even after birth, the execution of a baby, because that's not abortion, that's the execution of a baby.
Not true. Doesn't happen. When there is a late-term abortion, it is a tragedy for all concerned because there's some kind of medical anomaly. But Trump's going to continue to lie about it, and people are going to continue to believe it, so we're going to continue to call out the lie. Doesn't this all sound weird? You know, replacing generals with football coaches and lying about abortion and all the... Doesn't that seem weird? Listen to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. He's on the short list of being considered by Kamala Harris as a running mate because he's so refreshing and so candid, and he's so willing to call this kind of Republican rhetoric what it is, as he did in this MSNBC interview.
These are weird people on the other side. They want to take books away. They want to be in your exam room. That's what it comes down to. And don't, you know, get sugarcoating this. These are weird ideas. Listen to them speak. Listen to how they talk about things. Listen to how your previous guests were right. Like you said, they've told them that they shouldn't talk about race. They can't help it. It is built into their DNA because there is no plan. There's no health care plan. There's no health care plan. There's nothing to do on this. They want to take away our alliances and leave Russia to do whatever they want. Look, they are bad on foreign policy. They are bad on the environment. They certainly have no health care plan. And they keep talking about the middle class that, as I said, a robber baron real estate guy and a venture capitalist trying to tell us they understand who we are. They don't know who we are.
They don't. It's so perfectly, succinctly put.
Yeah, ever since I heard him say that, I just think of this one line very quick from Monty Python, The Life of Brian.
You're weird.
You are. And that's a great way of putting it, too, with like real estate and venture capitalists. What do you know about us?
Yeah. Let's play this real quick. Here's a little 50-second clip. Eric Hovde talking about being a life coach. And then we'll talk to Joseph Pecky on the other side of the break about this.
Okay, this is my first segment
on
life, health, and happiness.
Okay.
As I said, when I introduced this, I said I would start with talking about two words, gratitude and perspective.
Oh, I wanted to be one.
Gratitude has been studied by researchers, and they have found that happy people have one commonality. They're grateful. They have a lot of gratitude, thankfulness for what they have in their life. That may be their family that they have. It may be their friendships. It may be their job. It may be the beauty of planet Earth. It may be just breathing air. It's people that have gratitude and are thankful what they have radiate a greater level of joy and happiness.
You're weird.
Said the, said the guy who grew up inheriting millions. Yeah. Built some up himself, no doubt, but had a heck of a head start along the way. Joe Sopecki is next. You're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. Joining you on a Thursday morning, the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center in Manitowoc is celebrating its sixth anniversary. Program manager Abigail Winkle says that today, Friday, and Saturday, they're offering special activities and free admission for the kiddos. One of the must-sees is the birthing barn.
Easily the wow factor here at Farm Wisconsin, a must-see, is our Land O'Lakes birthing barn. Our birthing barn offers the opportunity to witness a calf being born right here on site. Since opening, we've welcomed over 750 calves born here on site. These calves take their first breath here, their first steps, and enjoy their first meal here at Farm Wisconsin, all while people are watching, which is really unique to our facility at Farm Wisconsin.
In honor of their sixth anniversary, the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center in Manitowoc is offering free youth admission today, Friday, and Saturday, and they've got an awesome lineup of activities for both kids and adults. You can see the full schedule at farmwisconsin.org. Abigail Winkle joining us. She's the program manager at the facility. Stick around, we'll take a look at our morning commodity markets next.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at gumsfarmswi.com.
Grain markets are starting the day a little lower. From Chicago, cash corn is down a penny and a quarter at 402 and a half. December new crop corn also down a penny and a quarter, trading at 416 and three quarters. Cash soybeans are down a nickel and three quarters at 1105 and a quarter. And November new crop soybeans are trading down 4.5 cents at 1059 and a half. And cash and new crop wheat is trading down 4 cents at 543 a bushel. The Class 3 milk contracts are moving slightly higher to start the day. The August Class 3 milk contract is up 2 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight. The September contract is up 4 cents at $21.37. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east to northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, sunshine 79. Mostly sunny through the weekend. More humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Jazz up your week with the many opportunities to enjoy music at Cutler Park. Jazz at Cutler is featuring Marsha Daniel and her combo on Wednesday, July 24th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Les Paul Performance Center. Following on Thursday, July 25th at Les Paul Performance Center, Jazz Express is playing at 8 p.m. Stop by to tap your feet to the jazzy tunes from the big band era. It's great music and tons of fun for the summer. Jazz up the week at Cutler Park.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, we'll be revisiting some of Kamala's best moments versus Brett Kavanaugh, Bill Barr, and Jeff Sessions. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Let's keep things rolling on this Thursday morning. Joe Zepecki joins us now. Joe, how are you?
Has anything happened since we talked last week?
Since we did? No, nothing much, only everything. And I think it's still being digested. As I've said, this thing could have gone kittywampus so many different ways if other people had declared or if just a whole host of things. And instead, you've got the vice president with enough delegates to basically lock up the nomination. Not something I would have definitely predicted with any great certainty, given the way the party had looked for the past month. And yet, you feel as well the weight that seems to have come off everybody's shoulders to the left side of the aisle.
Yeah, no question. I think we should start with Joe Biden and maybe the most selfless act in American political history. Someone who sought the presidency for, 50 years throughout a life of public service, making the decision to willingly step aside and not be shoved aside, but understanding that his time had passed. It's a remarkable thing. Joe Biden has cemented his legacy. To me, the question is when the Democratic Party starts naming some of their dinners after him. It's not a question of if, because this is the leadership, the legacy, serving as a vice president, a number two to the first black president, now stepping away and yielding the baton to a black woman who I believe will be our first black woman president. And first woman president. I mean, like, it's just, this is the stuff of fables.
Legends.
And legends. Yeah. It's extraordinary. And I loved Joe Biden on Saturday. And on Sunday, I was just in awe of him.
And not to mention, people are also, as they talk about his legacy, bringing back that Meet the Press clip when he was asked about same-sex marriage and where he got ahead of his own administration on this. And instead of getting, taken to the woodshed, you had Barack Obama and everybody else saying, yeah, that's actually where we are. Somebody had to say at first, thank you, Joe, for doing that. The man's political instincts have always been top shelf.
Yeah. And so now we've got a sprint to the finish. I was expecting an outpouring of support for the vice president. I was expecting a renewed dose of enthusiasm whenever Biden made the decision. I was not expecting this degree of it. The overwhelming outpouring of support, the enthusiasm has been greater than I anticipated in ways that are really exciting and that fundamentally reshape the next 100 and few days.
Right. And look, I don't mind that we're only talking about, literally 102 days or so, because, again, you see this in plenty of other countries. We talk about the UK all the time. They have just 6 weeks of election cycles. Canada does the same thing. We can do a 15-week cycle. It's a lot more enjoyable than one that lasts for 3 years and 364 days.
We've all been saying we want shorter election cycles. Here we go.
Here we go. And
luckily, the right and the Trump campaign, they're taking all of this, totally chill, totally cool, totally normal.
Oh, yeah, they're totally normal. They're just totally, oh, my goodness. They cannot come up with a coherent message. And when they do find one, it will be rooted in, meanness and inaccuracies. But we'll see what they do. They don't have much to work with given her first rally address, because it was in West Allis, Wisconsin, and it only lasted 18 minutes, Joe, which means that's 80 minutes less than the other guy. So she couldn't talk about being electrocuted by electric boat motors and sharks.
She never got to fictional cannibals or any of the greatest hits.
No. And so there's not nearly as much material to work with. There were only, you know, solid positions on reproductive rights and on health care and on things like that. Things that Joe seemed to be making a connection right away. Even when she talked about gun violence, she hit the things that have 80% approval, bipartisan approval.
Universal background checks, red flag laws. All of those things. Yep.
Yep. She knows what Americans want. And it appears that the Republicans might actually have to propose some ideas and rather than just try to run against her. It's not working so far for them.
No, they don't. Well, they don't have very many policy ideas. They have they were running a strongmen campaign because they are a new 21st century American version of authoritarianism, which is mm-hmm. very scary. They thought this was going to be strength versus weakness. And now they have the candidate who is the oldest nominee in American history in Donald Trump, who can barely put three sentences together that make sense. Certainly could not stand at a podium after a NATO conference and give an hour-long discourse on global security and geopolitics in the way that Joe Biden did. And now Democrats have someone who can prosecute the case. This is a former prosecutor who, as she explained, knows people like Donald Trump because she has been, you know, with them in courtrooms and locking some of them up when she started her career as a local prosecutor. She can prosecute the case. I would rather have the prosecutor than the perpetrator. That's a message that she can deliver that reminds voters that he has been convicted of 34 felonies, that he botched the response to COVID, drove the nation's economy into the ditch, and is a recipe for global instability, which is terrible for the economy, not to mention for our allies and partners around the world. And she's ready to go. And she's ready to do that. And so what you're seeing is people on the right just flail from one misogynist comment to one racist comment and back. They don't know what to do because they had not built the contingency plan, which is pretty remarkable.
Well, and they're going to, as they keep looking for what's going to land, probably keep coming back to, you know, California liberal, San Francisco liberal, whatever the case may be. But again, if it's an economic argument, then the Biden-Harris administration is going to win that. And if it's an immigration argument, because they like to say that, you know, one of her early roles as vice president was to do something about, you know, Central American immigration. Well, again, you've got Trump killing a bipartisan border bill. So I'm going to ask in all seriousness, what will stick? What Republican attack will stick that doesn't have an immediate counter from some Republican failing?
I'm not sure. I really am not. They are really in a tough box. And part of the reason they are in a tough box is that the work ahead over the next 100 days is not necessarily to build a pro Kamala Harris coalition big enough to win an election. What Kamala Harris's job is over the next 100 and few days is to rebuild an anti-Trump coalition that was big enough to stop him from winning a second term in 2020. And that got bigger, that anti-Trump coalition got bigger after January 6th and the Trump plot to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. And it got bigger still after the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe versus Wade due to the fact that Trump appointees gave the far right exactly what they wanted. And that anti-Trump coalition is big enough to win this election. It was cracking because of concerns about Joe Biden's ability to do the job he's been doing for another 4 years. There is no deep-seated misgiving about the policies that he has championed, about a pro-worker, pro-union agenda, about a pro-democracy agenda, about a pro-healthcare agenda. There's not concerns about any of that. And the reason we know that is all of the polls showed all of the battleground states where there are Senate contests the Democratic senators who have been supporting that agenda every step of the way and making this great American comeback possible were running way ahead of Joe Biden. I mean, from 5 to 15 points, depending on the state. And so that is part of the challenge that the Trump campaign now faces. This is no longer going to be a referendum on the question of, is Joe Biden too old? It is going to be a referendum on Donald Trump and the chaos and the division and the destructive nature that he is versus an alternative who meets the qualifications of the job, can do the job, and is a, you know, ordinary Democrat in almost every way, except for to people who view her as the extraordinary leader she is. And you can count me in that second group of people who think that she is just an incredible woman. She reminds me a lot of my mom, I think, is part of my longtime affinity for the vice president. But she doesn't have to be that to everybody. She just has to be not Trump and able to do the job. And she will pass that bar with aplomb.
Do you see any possibility of a repeat of 2016 where the woman running against Trump looks to be so strong and so qualified that some people stay home because they think it's in the bag, and other people stay home because they might have seen one or two Trump ads about Kamala Harris and say, yeah, I guess I'm not really sure about her, because that was essentially what happened in 2016. Has everybody learned their lesson, or is there still that margin for failure?
I think everyone has learned their lesson. And I think that that's part of the reason the answer is no. Everyone has learned their lesson. Kamala Harris is not someone that the right has been running against for 20 years, which was the case in Hillary Clinton. And I think in 2016, a lot of people thought that Trump couldn't win, including people who voted for him. Were like, well, I don't really like the Clintons. Trump can't win. Ah, whatever. It's just as a lark. I don't think his coalition includes many larkers anymore, because they've seen what that vote hath wrought. And so I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about getting the message out and continuing to remind the American people, particularly younger voters, what's at stake, including a couple of Supreme Court seats, because some of these justices are getting up there. And if you want Donald Trump's appointees to control the Supreme Court for the next 40 years, that's what's at stake. The restoration of Roe v. Wade, the continuation of our democracy, the ways to strengthen it and expand it to include more people and to ensure our elections are safe and fair. That's all what's on the line. And I think young and old, white and black and brown and everything in between, people are going to hear that message, are going to understand what's at stake. And now we've got something to ride with from my side of the aisle.
All right. Well, let's conclude with the summer series that's going to be must-watch viewing on screens this summer. And I don't mean the Paris Olympics starting tomorrow. I, of course, mean, as Eric Hovde put it, episode one of my new series focused on life, health, and happiness, taking a dive in this first episode into two very important words, gratitude and perspective. Joe, will you be watching these episodes of Life, Health, and Happiness with Eric Hovde?
I will only be watching them for professional purposes. I am here to tell you that I have seen some very weird things in my time working in American politics. I don't know that I've seen anything weirder than this. And I don't know that I've seen anything like just odder than someone wearing at least hundreds, if not thousands of dollars shirt outside, talking about his outdoor meals at his $2.5+ million second home in Madison, who owns a $3 billion bank in California where his first home is, that's worth over $7 million. And what he needs to feel gratitude is to see a medevac chopper with an ordinary Wisconsinite fighting for their life. And that's what he needs to change his perspective and to feel gratitude. I've never seen a campaign so intent on putting a lack of empathy for other people or understanding of the human condition out there. This is weird. It like it blares, tell me you're from California without telling me you're from California energy.
Oh yeah, very
and
new age.
I can't wait to see what happens next because it's the cringe train wreck you cannot look away from.
And it is for that perspective that we feel gratitude for Joe Zepecki. Joe, thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
We will have today's history lesson coming up in just a moment. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to Up North News Radio's history lesson, which often begins with classical music and often ends with moldy pans of lasagna, but that's yet to come. It was on this day in 1788 that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart completed his Symphony No. 40 in G minor. And like all other classical music bits, everything I know about it, I learned from Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah. I want to love classical music. I just can't tell any, like, oh, I love, it's the part in C major with the blah. I'm like, oh, just, come on, man. Can we just put some fog hat on?
Or like I said, have Tom and Jerry chasing each other around a piano.
There you
then
go.
I'll listen. It'll be great. Folks who are young might not know that MTV once played a lot of music, and the Learning Channel once had educational programs on TLC, and ESPN used to just run sports highlights before it was just a bunch of talking heads. And the Sports Center jocks, you know, the announcers, they were big deals. They had catchphrases, they were big. And on this day in 1995, they were so big, ESPN released its own chart-topping CD called Jock Jams. You get all these stadium anthems and then some old Sports Center catchphrases. He could go all the way. En fuego.
I hate this video so much.
Oh, let's see. So, yeah, Jock Jams. Big deal on this day in 1995.
big deal.
It was a big deal. It was Stars on 45 for ESPN. There. Now people of my age really get it. The debut single by the Monkees was recorded at RCA Studios in Los Angeles on this day in 1966. Are these the Monkees? Not really. Like all of their early songs, the group doesn't play on the record because they weren't that good at instruments yet.
Yeah.
The only monkey on the track is Mickey Dolenz, who's doing the vocals.
That's good enough for me.
That's right. On this day in 1959, 13-year-old Dolly Parton made her debut at the Grand Ole Opry. She was introduced by Johnny Cash, and she sang a George Jones song, You Gotta Be My Baby. She was so good, she got 3 encores. That's what would be called a harbinger. Yeah. Let's see. 1970, there was a new number one hit. It would be on the top of the charts for four straight weeks. The number one song this day in 1970 was by the Carpenters.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time?
No electric instruments there. You know, you don't have to go electric. But it was on this day in 1965 at the Newport Folk Festival that Bob Dylan played an electric set for the first time. Folk music fans everywhere were beside themselves.
Freaked.
How dare you? Stick to acoustic stuff here like the Carpenters. On this day in 1973, the Doobie Brothers released this song with a funky little name for a little town that they thought they'd made up. So the story here is that lead singer Tom Johnson wasn't sure where he got the name when he was writing the song. He's like, oh, China Grove, that sounds like a cool little name. Thought maybe he made it up, maybe he dreamed of it. He doesn't know. Later found out the tour bus, I mean, they were going everywhere. Yeah. And at one point, the tour bus passed right through the very real, very small town of China Grove, Texas. So there is such a place. He just couldn't actually remember being there. That'd be like somebody saying, oh, I made up a town called Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
It was in Tommy Boy. The sign was right there in Tommy. Oh, that's where I saw it. Never mind. Never mind. The number one song on the R&B charts this day in 1992 was by Mary J. Blige. Louise Joy Brown, 46 years old today. 46 years ago today, on this day in 1978, she was the first human to have been born after conception by in vitro fertilization, or IVF. Brand new this day in 1978. A marvel of science, has brought joy to countless families, and now there are some politicians who want to rip that all away. Never thought that Louise Brown's birthday would become something more than just a passing mention on the calendar, but now it has actual political implications. On the national day calendar today, I mean, we got the full menu here for today. Today is National Chili Dog Day. Today is National Hot Fudge Sunday Day. And today is Wine and Cheese Day.
My goodness.
I know. There's just a lot going on here. You could just fill up on today and then go on a carousel because it's National Carousel Day.
But Pat.
Yes.
What else is it?
Oh, let me tell you, our listeners are awesome. This one from Michael on Facebook. Good morning, Pat and Greg. We are fully aware of lasagna. We had it earlier this week and leftovers tonight. I love my job. I love this show.
You said you were going to eat the leftovers, but you said you were going to. Now it's half a pan has gone to waste.
I've actually been looking up now which molds you can eat and which molds you can't, because what if the lasagna gets moldy? Because you can eat moldy cheese, but that's not the same as the cheese that's in your lasagna pan if that were to get moldy. And this is what happens when you give your name. You give your month a dumb name like Lasagna Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And we end up talking about it for 31 freaking days. But Robin Tigerton puts on Facebook, well, now I'm hungry for lasagna. That was probably before we started talking about the mold.
We all are, Rob. We all are.
Yep. Oh, trust me. The end of this week can't come soon enough. National Carousel Day, like I said. This is National Hire a Veteran Day. This is National Intern Day. Do we have any interns at Civic Media?
I think we do up in Madison.
We have a summer intern at Up North News. Name is Jake. I think his name is Jake. Now I got to go look it up.
Oh my God!
I call them all Nigel. I'm just like, I'm never going to learn your name, and so here you're just
you can't remember a name.
Oh, no, not especially at my age. It's only gotten worse. I mean, so many interns, they come and they go, and it's hard at my age. Okay. See how I'm playing the age card now?
All right. Okay.
Rob saying crockpot lasagna is the way to go.
Oh.
So, all right. We'll get Rob's weather update from Tigerton and Brittany Merlot's for
the Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Representative Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Hour number two, all things sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and Brittany Merlot for a little weather and wine. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The president ends his reelection campaign.
And the civic media team led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down.
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.